Let us pray. Holy God, we pray that you would breathe your Spirit into our lives and into your church, that on this journey through the season of Lent, where we're seeking you, we're seeking to repent and to turn from those things in our lives that stand as barriers, stand as obstacles, stand in the way of us fully engaging with you. We pray that you would strengthen us as we seek to repent and to turn from those things and to seek you more fully in our lives. So we pray in this moment and in this place that as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, by your Spirit may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are journeying through this season of Lent, and our theme has been rehab, in the sense of needing to rehab our spiritual lives, to make them more vital, more fruitful, more alive than maybe they have become. And part of the journey is one that in a lot of ways parallels that story of the people of Israel. That first Sunday, Curtis talked about what it's like to be in the wilderness, to be out kind of lost and wandering and adrift. And that really was the case for the people of Israel when God had first led them out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness wandering, and God intervened. God intervened by revealing his presence, to speaking to them through Moses. And we come to today where the theme is program, where God lays out a plan for them and says, all right, you had a problem, you're aware of the problem, here are some of the things that you need to do to get on track. Now, for people who go through a 12-step recovery program dealing with an addiction, there's a program, and often when people are in those types of programs, they'll be encouraged to work the program or work the steps because there is a sequence and a progression of steps. And sometimes it takes having to go back and start over again and changing their behavior and patterns. I know some of you have had to go through rehab following hip or knee or other surgeries. And they have a very set program when you're involved in one of those rehab programs of the things that they have you do. And in some ways, it probably is surprising to think that as adults, you have to be taught how to go up and down steps again or do the basic things that you do around the house. But that program is to retrain you, to reorient you, to help you learn a new process of doing those things. Now, ultimately, whether it's a recovery from a surgery, dealing with an addiction, or in our case, helping to focus our spiritual lives in a more meaningful and significant way, it all comes back to changing habits. Those patterns of ways that we think and act and do. There's a book that was out a few years ago. There are a number of books that talk about habits, but there was one out a few years ago called The Power of Habit. I believe the author, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but it was Charles Duhigg. But in his summary of what a habit is, he talks about that there is a cue. There's something that prompts us. There's a routine that we go through. And then there's a reward. And as human creatures, this cue, this routine, and this reward begins to establish a pattern. And the reward is what reinforces in our brains that, oh, this worked, so let's keep doing that. But often some of the habits that we have might not be the best ones. But those habits, after they become established, that we experience the cue, we have the routine we go through, and there's the reward. After a while, part of it is that good habits, it makes our life easier because that routine, after a while, becomes something that our brain goes on autopilot and we don't have to consciously think about doing it. How many of you have to stop and consciously think to tie your shoes? I would guess most of us probably not. There are some days, I'll admit. If it's before coffee, that changes things. But by and large, most of us can probably tie our shoes while focusing on something else, whether it's having a conversation, watching the morning news, or something else to the point, because we've done it enough times. The cue is my shoe needs tied. We go through that, and our shoes are tied, and we don't trip when we go walking down the hallway. These habits can be good for us. But one of the things that he talks about in his book is that we don't ever really get rid of bad habits. We just develop new ones on top of them. And so we change something in that cycle of the cue and the routine and the reward. So one of the things, an example he gave was that if you're trying to drink less coffee, you don't eliminate that whole cycle. Your cue in the morning is, boy, I need a cup of coffee. And your routine is you make the cup of coffee and you drink it, and the reward is you had it. But he says if you're trying to eliminate caffeine, don't stop drinking coffee. Just make decaf. So he says tinker with that habit a little bit, or tinker with that routine, because it's going to be a lot easier to make adjustments with it than to just say, this routine I'm getting rid of. So what's that have to do with this morning and what we're hearing from these Ten Commandments that Moses delivers to the people? Now you have to understand there were a lot more laws that God gave to Moses than just these ten. But these ten get lifted up. These ten are significant, so much so that we still talk about them today. So much so that even though there is a lot of controversy around them, particularly the monuments of them in front of state courthouses and on Capitol building grounds and other places and in public places, people see this as establishment of a religion. But in some of the rulings from the Supreme Court, they've said, you know, these commandments are kind of the foundation of civilized culture. And we're not endorsing that religion. We're just saying these aren't bad principles for people to live by. And so God gave these commandments, all these laws to the people through Moses, but then these 10, in a lot of ways, became their 12-step, or in this case, 10-step program. So, if we're going to be God's people, if we need to get things right as the nation of Israel, God has said that we should worship only God, that we shouldn't worship idols, we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain, we should remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. When we have Jesus talking about the greatest commandment, he summarizes the law into two: to love God and to love your neighbor. If you look at those Ten Commandments that we heard read in Exodus 20 this morning, the first four are loving God commandments. Okay, people who are righteous, people who are in a right relationship with God, here are the things you do. You love God, you honor God, you don't take the Lord's name in vain. God set an example for us in the creation story of resting on that Sabbath, and so as God's people, we should observe a Sabbath as well. And then we move into the next six commandments that are loving others commandments. Honor your parents. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet other people's things. Those give people a framework and kind of a grounding in, boy, is this action, is this behavior, is this moral, is this ethical, is this good? Ooh, I was going to take that because I wanted it, but it says I shouldn't steal. Yeah, okay, maybe if I'm going to be one of God's people, I need to change how I'm behaving. And it became a standard for that community, for all of those people to agree upon and live by. And again, we still talk about it today. And I think that by and large, we wouldn't disagree with any of these Ten Commandments. Now, part of the problem with the Ten Commandments and all of the laws that God gave through Moses was what Jesus was bumping up against with the Pharisees. In Luke 11, Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees, saying, look, you're putting this heavy, heavy burden on people. Because their approach to this was to be very legalistic about it. To be very micromanaging of people about, oh, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. But I'm not sure that was God's intent necessarily. God wanted to be able to give us a way to say, what are the things that I can use as a check in how I live my life? Something that I can consider my words and my thoughts and my actions against. And so we have that Ten Commandments. Jesus summarized it well for us when he said, love your neighbor as yourself and love God. But what the Ten Commandments does is begin to fill that in for us a little bit. John Wesley had a similar program for the early Methodists. It's called his Three Simple Rules. Have you heard this before? Some? John Wesley said, do good, do no harm, and attend upon the ordinances of God. What he meant with attending upon the ordinances of God is do those things, those disciplines like we've talked about, that help you grow closer to God. And then Wesley, in this list of these three simple rules, pretty easy to remember those, right? Do good, do no harm, and some modern authors translate it to stay in love with God. You can remember that. And then Wesley has bullet points, lengthy ones, of how we do good. And of the ways that we avoid doing harm. And he talks about how people conduct themselves in their business, of being fair to customers, of not engaging in charging high interest rates for people, of not owning slaves. And so for his context and his day, he filled those out and gave a lot of detail to it. Throughout the scripture, we can look at many of the things that God speaks. Many of the things that God commands, and we can all point back to those summary that Jesus gave of loving God and loving our neighbor. Other programs that come to mind for me in Scripture are things like in Micah 6 where it says, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Those are good overviews, those are good summaries, but the bottom line is we need the steps. We need some of the details filled in to help us to know, okay, so how am I going to do justice? How am I going to love mercy? What does it look like to walk humbly with God? The Ten Commandments, in many ways, give us a very basic understanding of some of those things. By and large, I would suspect that most of us have not ever had to wrestle with, don't commit murder. Should I or shouldn't I? But then you get down there to number 9. Don't lie. Fortunately, most of us probably bend the truth or have at one time or another. Anybody ever been envious and wanted something that you didn't have? He says don't covet what others have. We've got some things that are so far out there that we think, boy, that's never going to impact me, and yet we've got those things that probably come knocking on our door multiple times a day. And God is saying, all right, here's a starting point. Consider your actions against these. He could have made it complicated. He could have put chapters and chapters of all of the rules, but we'd ended up where the people of Jesus' day were with all of the rules the Pharisees had laid upon them. And then trying to remember, wait, did I get 611 correct today or not? It's not about the legalism. It's not about putting a burden upon people. It's about helping us to have a standard of living that says, you know what? Consider this. Consider this program and how it may help you grow closer to God. Because if the program, whatever program you're working right now in your spiritual life, if if it's not helping you move you closer to God, then either you need to keep working at it or maybe consider another program. In rehab, in weight loss, in anything that we want to change a habit in our life, we have to begin somewhere. And there is no magic pill. There's no, oh, I did it once and everything's fine. It takes commitment. It takes willingness on our part. It takes persistence. And as we see with the people of Israel, it takes the support of the community around you. While each of us may have those things that we need to be attentive to and those things that we need to work on to help us grow closer to God, look around, because you're not in this journey alone. There are people sitting next to you that have the same struggles and challenges you do. There are people that right now, when it comes to their faith life, are just hanging on by their fingernails, saying, how can I do something else? And that's where Jesus' summary comes in. Friends, love God. Love your neighbors. And look for the ways. Look for the program that will help you, that will help us become the people of God and draw nearer to Him.